Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Well, we move on in our study for Quran chapter 2 and verse 259. For there we read, "Or like this one who passed by a village and it was empty on its roof." That is non-Arabic word, which actually means crumbled. He said, "Will Allah give life to this after its death?" So Allah caused him to die for 100 years and then raised him to life. And Allah said, "How long were you waiting?" He said, "I have waited a day or a part of a day." He said, "Yet you have waited 100 years. So look at your food and your drink. They are not corrupted. And look at your donkey. We would make you a sign to people. And look on the bones, how we raise them and then clothe them with flesh." So when this was shown to him, he said, "I know that Allah has might over all things." First of all, I'd like to let you know that that verse was not taken out of context, which means the previous verse have nothing to do with the following verse of Quran chapter 2 and verse 259. So that verse carries the entire message which Allah or Muhammad would like to declare to the Muslim believers. Now, Muslim scholars, as always, disagree about many things concerning that verse. For example, the scholar disagree about that man. Who is that man who was walking by that village? So it was said that he was an infidel who doubted the resurrection. Who said that? That was given to us by the scholar Mujahid. And other Muslim scholars rejected this interpretation. Why? Because when Allah asked, "How long did you stay?" He meant, "How long were you asleep?" or "How long you been dead?" Muslim scholars said, Allah will not carry a conversation or ask question to an infidel. And also, as Allah stated in the same verse, that he will make him a sign to the people. That does not make any sense, because how can Allah use an infidel for a sign or a miracle for the people? Because that statement can only be used for prophets. As for Qatada and Akrama and Al-Dahhak and Al-Sadid, they said that that man who was walking by the village was actually Azir ibn Sharkhiya. They meant Prophet Ezra in the Bible. And it was said when he returned to his house, he was a young man and his children were old people. So whenever he spoke with them about anything, they found that he is speaking as a one man who is over 100 years old. And when he said to them that "I am Azir," he meant Ezra, they denied him. They did not believe him. So he recited to them the entire Torah from memory. And no one was able to memorize it before him except him. By that, he proved to them that he is Ezra or Azir. And that's when they said that he is the son of Allah. And if you want to know, where do we find that in the Quran? It's actually Quran chapter 9 and verse 30. For there we read, "And the Jews said, Ezra is the son of Allah. And the Nasara," he meant Christians, "said, the Christ is the son of Allah. This is their saying with their mouth. They repeat the saying of those who became infidels before. Allah engage in war with them. How perverted they are." Let's continue with the interpretation of Muslim scholars concerning Quran chapter 2 and verse 259. After the Jews said that Azir is the son of Allah, Allah ordered him to look at his donkey, how his bones were separated from each other. Or Allah said to him, "Look at your donkey, how perfect he is." even though he did not have any food or any water. You see, the contradiction is beyond imagination. Why? Because the Quran does not give us any details, and Muslim scholars give us the opposite opinions. Imagine with me, Allah is asking this Azir to look at his donkey. And what is the condition of the donkey? A, completely dead, bones separated from each other. Or B, in good health, nothing wrong with him. Now, which interpretation would you like to believe in? Obviously, that shows you how ridiculous those so-called Muslim scholars are. And then also, Muslim scholars said, we kept him as we kept your food and your drink without any change. Wahab ibn Munabbah said that he is actually Jeremiah, son of Halqiyah, from the tribe of Aaron. We continue to read the disagreement among Muslim scholars, for we read that the village which that man, which we do not know who he is, walked by, was actually the Holy House in Jerusalem. And it was said it was a monastery by the name Sabra Abad, which exists in Fars. And it was said actually it was Salma Bad, which is a village near Jurjan. And it was said it was a monastery of Harkal, very famous monastery between Basra and Askar Makram. You see, scholar disagree who is the man, scholar disagree what village, scholar disagree on the information G shared with us about the story, but somehow these are great Muslim scholars. I wonder how in the world Muslims believe in the teaching of the Quran when their own scholars do not know what the verses of the Quran are talking about. If this story have any truth or have any background in the Holy Bible, we would have known who is that man. And we would have known all the details which we need to understand his story, not to leave so-called scholars confused, guessing, without knowing any truth whatsoever about what they are writing to their followers, the poor Muslim believers. When we look at the Holy Bible, we will not find anything of that which we have read here, chapter 2, verse 259, or the interpretation which I always call fabrication of so-called Muslim scholars. But we know where the story comes from. Guess what? It is actually written in some old Greek books. And it is a story about a man by the name Abimendis. He was a Greek priest and poet. And some put him as one of the scholars of the Greeks, the seven ones, in replacement of Periander. He was born in Crete in the 7th century before Christ. And it was said that his people were idol worshippers and that he slept for 57 years in a cave. And during it, he received the revelation. When he woke up, or when he rose, as Allah stated in the Quran, he was astonished by the change which happened around him in his country and in his people. It was said also that man lived 199 years. And in the year 596 before Christ, he traveled to Athena because he felt bad concerning the people of Athena because of the war and the plague which came on them in the religion. And that is because they were killing the helpers of Solon in the temple of their gods. And he gives advice that they may offer sacrifice. So that's why they brought Abimendis from Crete. And he was a man very famous with wisdom and goodness, that he may seek the grace of the gods. So he came and he offered the sacrifice and he did all the tradition of the religion, and the plague stopped, and he helped Solon to organize themselves in Athena. And when he decided to go back to his country, that is Crete, he refused to take any gifts from them. He only asked if he can take a branch of an olive tree. My dear friends, here is the facts about the stories of the Quran. Muhammad hears a story here or there, and if he likes it, then he inserted it into the body of his Quran, claiming it to be a true story. Then he added it to his revelation of the Quran. And by that, he actually convinced his people that he is a prophet from God, because he is writing this great revelation, and the Quran is the only miracle Muhammad had. And when we investigate that claim of the miracle of the Quran, we discover that it is simply a joke. But on the other hand, Muslim scholars fabricate interpretation to help Muhammad to prove to the dear Muslim followers that the Quran is a true revelation from God, when in reality, the entire Quran is simply chaos without any facts. Ezra did not doubt God's resurrection. Ezra was never called the son of God, as Muhammad claimed in the Quran by the Jews. And Ezra did not die for 100 years, nor for 10 years. Ezra lived a normal life, and when he died, he never came back to life. None of these fabrication given by Muslim scholars have any truth whatsoever, not in the Bible, nor any other places. It is made up story, once again, from an old myth which was written 700 years before Christ, and Muhammad made it into a true revelation.
The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is excited to announce our creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstand Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. But is this true? This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arise from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. Please visit thestraightway.org for ordering information. And now, back to our show.
Let's move on to Quran chapter 2 and verse 260. For there we read, "And when Abraham said, 'My Lord, show me how you gave life to the dead,' he said, 'Have you not believed?' He said, 'Yes, but so that my heart be assured.' He said, 'So take four of the birds and cut them and make them, then place a part of them on every mountain, then call them, they will come swiftly to you, and know that Allah is dear wise.'" Now you have to understand that the order of the Quran, once again, is a chaos. Why? Because in verse 258, we talked about Abraham and Namrud, as Muslim scholars claim. We covered that in our last broadcast. And now we see in verse 259 a story about a man. Somehow Muslim scholars claim him to be Ezra or Jeremiah or somebody else. But then when we go to Quran chapter 2 and verse 260, guess what? Muhammad goes back to Abraham. So 1800 years before Christ to 600 years before Christ to 1800 years before Christ. We start with Abraham. We went 1100 years later because we know that this made-up story of Muhammad, which came out of Greek mythology roughly around 700 years before Christ. It's a made-up story. And now we go back to Abraham. Why can't Allah give us the entire story of Abraham in one paragraph, not one verse here and one verse there? That is one thing. The other thing is, now when we look at the interpretation of Muslim scholars to Quran chapter 2 verse 260, you can't help but once again to laugh. Why is that? Listen to what Muslim scholars said. "As they did everything they can to take the doubt of Abraham in the power and the mighty word of Allah to raise the dead. So when the Quran said that Abraham doubted the might of Allah, Muslim will say, 'No, he did not doubt the might of Allah.' Wait a minute. Just read the Quran. A simple reading to the word of Allah in the Quran declared to us that Abraham doubted Allah's might to raise the dead. When he said, 'My Lord, show me how you gave life to the dead.' That means what? He believed in that Allah is able to do that, or he doubted that Allah is able to do that. Obviously, logic and common sense, he did doubt that Allah raised the dead. Abu Huraira said that Muhammad said, "We are more worthy to doubt than Abraham." Does that mean Abraham did doubt Allah concerning the strength or the might of Allah to raise the dead? And as you continue with the story, Allah said, "Do you not believe?" Wait a minute. If Abraham did not doubt, why did Allah ask him if he believed or not? And then Abraham said, "Yes, but so my heart be assured." So his heart was not assured. And if you see how Allah raised the dead, now his heart will be assured, which means he did doubt Allah's ability to raise the dead. Now listen to how Muslim scholars interpret the statement of the Quran concerning the four birds. Allah in the Quran said, "So take four of the birds and cut them and mix them, then place a part of them on every mountain." Here is what Muslim scholars said about the interpretation for these four birds. Some said that these four birds were peacock, rooster, pigeon, and crow. But other scholars said that they were actually peacock, rooster, eagle, and crow. Ibn Abbas, the first cousin of Muhammad, stated that Abraham cut each one of these birds into four parts, and he put them on the top of four mountains, as he put one quart of each bird on one of these four mountains. And it was said, here we go, once again, it was said, which means we have too many different opinions. Here's what it says, that Abraham cut these birds into seven pieces, and he put each piece of these birds on one of the seven mountains, and he held the birds' heads in his hands. Then he calls them, "Come to me by the permission of Allah." Why is that? Because that is what Allah said in the Quran. After Allah said, "Then place a part of them on every mountain, then call them, they will come swiftly to you, and know that Allah is dear, wise." And Muslim scholars are telling us how this happened, as if they were there, as if they were watching it step by step. So when Abraham called on these birds to come to him, it says that the drops of the blood of these birds start gathering together, and all the feather of these birds start coming together, one feather at a time, and all the bones of these birds start connected to each other, and they came back hurrying, rushing to their heads, which obviously were in Abraham's hands. But when we open the Bible, we will know that Abraham did not doubt God or the might work of God's hand. That's why we use him as a parable to say he is the father of all the believers. When God ordered Abraham to offer his only beloved son as a sacrifice, he obeyed. Why? Because he knows, even though he's an old man and his wife is an old lady, but God is able to raise from the rocks children to him. And when God gave him a promise that he will have many children and they will be as much as the stars of the heavens and the sand of the beach, he knows that God will keep his promise, and God is able to do that. And God made a covenant with Abraham. That is what is written in the book of Genesis chapter 15. And the blood covenant which God had with Abraham was not about four birds with these names which Muslim scholars fabricated, nor that he will cut these birds to small pieces and put them on four mountains or seven mountains. No, that's not what we read in the Bible. For in Genesis 15 verse 7 we read, "Then he said to him," he is God, said to Abraham, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it?" So he said to him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Notice here, no eagle, no peacock, and no rooster, but turtle dove and a pigeon. And let's continue with the Bible in verse 10. Then he brought all these to him, and he cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. Notice, not four pieces, not seven pieces, but two pieces. And not in two different mountains, but in front of each other. And that's not for the birds, for we continue to read, but he did not cut the birds in two. So the birds were slaughtered and they were solid piece, not to two pieces, as the scripture stated clearly, but he did not cut the birds in two. So obviously the birds were whole, not to be cut in four pieces or seven pieces as Muslim scholars claim. What was this sacrifice which was offered by Abraham is all about? It is a blood covenant. It has nothing to do with they will come back to Abraham to catch the heads in his hand and to become life. No, none of these tubers or these creatures which Abraham offered as a sacrifice came back to life. It is a blood covenant between God and Abraham that promise is made, and Abraham's descendants will inherit the promised land. My dear friends, that is the problem of the Quran. Muhammad made up so many stories. Sometimes he copies them from the Bible by adding and subtracting many details. Or sometimes he just take it from other made up myths which were known in his days. And his scholars added more water to the muddy Quran. And no one knows what is the true story about the Quran unless you listen to a broadcast like ours here. And that's why I believe it's very important for you to listen carefully and share this information with others. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.